trying to impair is getting out. You know?
Well, there are two factions at work. One wants him out in the worst way to get rid of him. The other one faction is pretty sure that if he gets out, we're all going to blunder. And the interesting part is he will get out and there'll be a hard role for all of us to hold, but we'll keep right on going. And we're not going to blunder. And when we give up that idea that we have to work outside the system, underground, hide everything we do, we will make it. You have to remember, they function, your enemy functions on the very basis of deceit, lies, cheating, hiding. And all they can do, really, when they send documents, is to state what they are about. Now, they will also be the first to tell you about pointing fingers. If you point one finger, the other three are pointed at yourself. All that is verbiage. That is the way the adversary works. Take your sacred terms, your sacred names, your sacred, anything sacred to you. I'm not talking about religion. I am talking about spiritual sacredness. Take it and belittle it, ridicule it, or just take it and attach it to your own actions. Holocaust is a good word. Anybody saying Holocaust is either going to be a hate monger or a Jew. And I'm talking about the Khazarian Jew who perpetrated and perpetuated this big notion. Holocaust in itself means total annihilation by fire. The word itself no longer means what it meant when the dictionary was written. Well, this is true of all of your words. Jesus Christ. No, they don't go together. They were put together. You could even go with possibly Emmanuel Christ, but not Jesus Christ. You will also hear the preacher get up and say, but Jesus means the anointed one. No, that is not true. There was a word, Jesus, in Greek that meant anointed, special. Saul of Tarsus. After he changed his own name to Paul, went to Greece, after Emmanuel was no longer even in the Holy Land, we don't even talk about whether he was dead or alive. He wasn't there anymore. And Saul proclaimed him. And then he proceeded to spread erroneous information all over everywhere. Well, good for him. But guess what? Almost 300 years later, get this, 300 years later, they started writing the Bible. According to German scholars, they had a minimum of 26 Gospels. And they chose four. So at the very best, you have interpreters moving from Sanskrit, ancient Arabic, into German, then into English. And then came the King James Version, and he was one of the weirdest, most despicable people. And he had it written, the King James Version, according to what he approved. He didn't write it. He had all his henchmen do it. And it wasn't until some time in that period of history that the word Jew even entered into the book. Because remember, that word was not even coined yet. And yet now it appears in all of them. Is that to make you distrust your books? Yes. Use your heads. This is what getting informed is about, and this is why they have to take the educational system so that they can train everybody to accept whatever they want to feed you. And when they come down with an edict, you look. The ones who protect and foist off on you the idea of the Holocaust, let's just use that, because it is one of the most valid things that I can think of. If it happened like they said, there will be records. Why don't they just sweep the world with all these records and say, yes, we have documents here and here and here? That's not what they do. They make it illegal, unlawful, against the law, and will incarcerate you. And have done it in Canada all the time in Germany. Valerie could vouch for this. You do not even sit at a table and talk about it, much the less deny it. Well, what does that mean? It means through force, people are required to accept the lie. Well, I guess so. You know, you put your hands up like this and somebody shoots an Uzi machine gun in your face and says, you are a Satanist. You better believe it. Hey, man, I am a Satanist. I call that wisdom. Oh, but now you have the mark of the beast. I don't either. How stupid can you get? The mark you're talking about, Buster, is on my soul, and God knows the difference. God knows the difference. And we can go into all of the things about the Holocaust. That is not the point. The point is that somebody says, you cannot have the information. And I want to tell you, all these historical documents are being, as quickly as they can get them off the shelves, buried, burned, destroyed. They're even pulling them out of the archives so that there will be no historic reference. They have to keep you ill-informed, uninformed, ignorant, to control you. And they do it through the lie and enforcement of the lie. The justice can do this. Bring you in. But, sir, that isn't even legal. It is here because I'm God here, sir. But you can't throw me into jail without habeas corpus. Oh? Ask McVeigh. Ask Dennis Lee. He has an interesting story to tell. That won't mean anything to any of the rest of you, but he's going about doing his thing, and he is arrested and hauled in, and only one other person in the history of the world has had $1 million bail set on his head. It was Charles Manson. This guy, much like you guys, he goes out and he gets arrested and he's hauled in, and his bail is set at $1 million. But you can't do that. I just did it. But it says right here, the usual bail for any of this offense, even if it were true, sir, is only $5,000. But we set it at $1 million. So they go out and they raise $3 million to be able to cover $1 million bail. Oh, well, we're not going to accept bail. But you can't do that. We just did it. They not only did it, they held him for 18 months. Cost him everything he had. They just completely destroyed everything he had. Went into his laboratories and elsewhere and completely confiscated everything. That is the world you're living in. Am I going to get out there with my big glass shield and shield you? No. I will shield you with information and you can make your choices. you're not going to win this with guns. Are you telling me, sir, that I may not defend myself? I guess. You can defend yourself with God, and you can live in such a way that that law has no reason to come get you. Is it right to not have a driver's license? Is it right to speak out against income tax? It's unlawful, unconstitutional. If you want to do that, but you can expect to go to jail. Well, but sir, aren't you going to get out there and get the people to raise money to get me out of jail? No. You knew better. That is not the way to win this war. You don't cart around great sums of money, great piles of gold. They've told you, they've arrested, they have told you, we're going to stop you. You can see it on 60 Minutes. Somebody goes to do his business and takes $10,000 cash and buys a plane ticket to go for one day from, let us say, L.A. to Houston. His destination was in Texas. He was a landscaper. He went down to make a monetary landscaping deal. I don't know what he went there for. That's what he said. But the facts are, he was a simple citizen going and buying a ticket. The moment he bought that ticket with cash, there is a button where that agent can press it. And guess what? Officers arrive. And they frisk you. Why did you buy this ticket? Well, I'm going to Houston, and it's just cash. How much cash do you have? Well, that, sir, is not your business. That is, with a gun, our business. Empty your pockets. Go through your luggage. And the man had another $9,000 or something like that. They arrested him, took his money. He never got his money back. Only to find that there is an agreement. For the money you confiscate, you get to keep it. It's sort of like tattling on your neighbor. It's sort of like the gangs that are going to come door to door to door, and if they find anything, they get to keep it out of your house. You think you can fight that? There aren't enough guns in the world to fight that. And you can't fight the only force that was set there that you had learned to depend on to take care of you. And there are good officers out there. I'm not going to fall into that trap of blasting all the policemen. Most of them go into it as an honorable profession, and then they are sickened to death to see what has happened. And yet confusion, turmoil, continual chaos. And how would you like to get up in the morning and go off to work and know you had to go into a riot area where they just shoot each other at night for the hell of it? It's that time of evolution, where things are so out of control that they have to go all the way out of control to be able to bounce back. That is physics. That is the law of physics. It will have a ripple on a stream will wash over here. Let us say a wave, not a ripple, because a ripple indicates it would go all out. But even as it strikes the shore on all directions, it will come back and meet in the middle. Or it will go as a wave and bump against this one and then sweep all the way across again and bump against this one. Depending on the point of force. But this is worth remembering. If you have equidistant for these ripples to go out, you're going to have force out here where they bump, and man, you are really going to pick it up when it comes back here. And these are the things that you're going to learn out of universal physics to give you free energy, to give you power and to give you knowingness. Oh, but sir, what do a bunch of waves have to do with knowingness? To understand the waves, you're going to have to get educated enough to listen. And in getting educated enough to listen, you are going to see God in all this. And then you are going to know. And that's where we're headed. That's where I'm headed. You can head anywhere you want. And you're sure welcome to come along with me. It will make my load easier. Or you can be my enemy. You can be the spy in my midst. That's good. That keeps us on our toes. I can always depend on someone to get whatever it is I want said back to wherever I wanted it said to. And that's all right, because we don't have anything to hide. And that's what's been the jewel. That's what's been the jewel. Everything has been tested, and you've not been found wanting. When the lie has to be resorted to against you, then you obviously are doing it right, aren't you? If you're catching all the flack, you're on target. And if ones are lashing out with you anonymously, that means they are scared of you. Because everybody at their soul level knows God wins. And I had a little bit of an annoyance because of who this came from. All of you, well, no, not all of you, but some of you know Bob Peters. This is a friend in Missouri, and that's enough said about him. But he communicates every week, and I have a feeling that he was feeling God only knows what one evening, and he sits down to write his usual letter, and then he writes another one after thought, and he said, you know, and mails it in a different envelope, and he said, sir, I know. Now, this guy receives, too. And he writes some beautiful papers. We've reproduced some of them. Very, very thought-provoking, very high-level input. And he's going to get me, you see. Well, sir, you know, we are birthed with all this knowing. But how do we access this? And it's a very short letter, and that's basically it. If we have all this knowing, how in the world do we access it? And how do we know that we are living within God's laws? Well, you are birthed with it. He answered his first question. That is part of the birthing. That is part of the knowing of soul before it comes again. And you know, what is it that you hide from? What is it? Why doesn't somebody want his name on that telephone message? Why does George send almost all of his stuff without a signature? So that basically it can't be used against him. I didn't sign that, is all he has to lie. Everybody knows where it comes from, but there's no signature there. You can't prove it. It's like the check to Bogue Rights. He keeps writing this. Make EJ produce a check for $18,000. Because he knows there's no check for $18,000. There was a check for $15,000 that George Green, in a meeting with Bogue Rights, called up again. And now let's just tell you what the latest is with George Green. EJ was at this meeting with Bogue Rights and everybody, and he gave him money. He wanted to give him money, and I, George, said no. The facts were, George is the one who took up with Bogue Rights and his people. Bogue Rights came out with his people, and George met with him in the office. EJ was not only asked, he was asked not to come. And yet, partway through that, the phone rings, it's George. We've decided, you know, I would like to give $15,000. Bo is putting in a 900 number, and EJ said no. No. That is a political thing. I cannot justify that. Oh, Ecker, it is only going to be for like 5, 7 days, 10 days at the most. It is a 900 number. It will pay for itself. And they need it right now. They're going to come and install that number tomorrow. And after some pressure, EJ said, well, okay, if there is a guarantee that that will come back to the Institute. No sweat. It'll be here, you know, before week. So the check is written. Before that is even the ink dry, phone rings. Takes too long to clear draft. They need it now. Call up, here are the numbers, call up the bank and transfer it directly. Do they think that these people are total idiots? Not only do you have the check that is no longer any good as reference, but you have the wire transfer made from bank to account to Bo Greitz's group. Now, that's $15,000. It actually costs more than the extra $3,000 to have that rally. Remember the rally? That usually candidates' campaign funds pay for, except in Tehachapi, of course, where you all stood and footed the bill to the tune of more than $3,000 more, which never came back. So giving just a little nice break there, $18,000, that never came back, and yet what do you have? Make him produce the check. He's lying. Bo Greitz said he didn't take the money. So now you've involved everybody else into the lie too. You have to confront these things as they continue to flow, because we have too big a job to let these little things continue to just be like splinters, like glass shards in the bottom of your feet when you're trying to run. So we need to get it settled and out of our hair. We don't need great, humongous sums of money to keep the paper going. We have other work to do than to run the paper. And yet we need the paper. We need to get the products out. We need to get information out. And you now have an international network for receiving and hearing. You just cannot imagine the petitions coming from Australia and Leicester, New Zealand. They're gone. These countries are gone. Don't quit. Please do not close this paper. It is our last segment of hope. People are now writing and saying, man, I took Spotlight forever, but even, bless his heart, thank you, Eustace Mullins has now gone the whole gambit and told somebody to get rid of Spotlight and start taking contact. Let's hear it for Eustace Mullins, man. This man has offered truth for so many years, and he is well received by Spotlight. Well received. Something I want to share with you about David Emerson Gamar, that I call DEG for half that document. This man is in exile. He can't even tell you where he is. We're his last voice. We don't even have a way, if there are funds coming back, to even find him. The FBI, praise God, cannot find him. And they are trying. We have to continue to voice and offer hearing for these people who are daring enough, have paid the price, and are still willing to risk, like Eustace Mullins, and we must give them press space. That's the least we can do. We obviously cannot run a paper, run campaigns, run a government, run. All we're doing is running until we're worn out. Leadership has to be passed out. And it's going to be passed out into the hands of the next best runner. Willing ones, willing to run the risk and get out there and lead. And God will take care of his relationship with that one or those ones. Your own special friend, Ron Carlson, in Hawaii, has been put on the ADL blacklist as a hate group. I don't know whether to shout and say, "Hallelujah, brother, we made it." But you're beginning to be able to see your enemy. You have to see your enemies, and then you can see how they are crossing at each other. But you can also see how you are being funneled back and back and back and back. Because even though you now have the paper that hits the top of the stack, there is no group here. And George Green and his bunch can yell cult until hell freezes. At which point, by the way, physically it is possible. So I have to be careful as we move along here and you understand how it is very possible. It's called heat exchange. You need another government. But how many of you can do this and run over to Timbuktu, New Mexico, or Arizona or somewhere to start another government? And for goodness sakes, I don't think any of you are crazy enough to want it here. So we have to do the best we can individually to reach out and form a network of individual sovereign citizens. Oh, you just said the magic word, sovereign citizen. No seat belts, no. Why? Seat belts are good. Save your life. And besides that, when you have no fuel for your automobiles, you won't have to worry about those seat belts. They will no longer annoy you because you will no longer be going anywhere. So we need to keep focused on what we need to be focused on, maybe like something to run your automobile so they can give you a ticket for deciding that you don't want to follow their law. You don't want a driver's license? Fine. But I suggest you get one. Why would you stick out like a broken thumb in their system? I won't take the mark of the beast, and it may be on that driver's license. Fine. But don't come asking me to take up a collection to get you out of jail. They're going to take your car the third time they stop you and you don't have a driver's license. So please, don't, the third time you're stopped, do not borrow somebody else's car. If you're going to lose one, lose your own. Once it was good. If enough of you had sovereignized at one time, there wouldn't be anything they could do about it. Now they use that as a way to get you. The income tax is totally, absolutely unlawful. And you may get by with requiring this one or that one, and you can keep a long dialogue going. Unless, of course, you've got multi-billions of dollars, and then they're going to get you anyway. But most of them will decide what this one's worth, what that one's worth, and you've got a bunch of underpaid clerks in there who don't know anything, and, oh, well, I don't know what to do with this one, so we'll let it sit over here for 6 months, And so many, many times, depending on the circumstances, you can win. So I suggest that you keep doing that. If you don't want to file, it is perfectly legal not to file. But they may come put you in jail for it.